Heidi ho, neighbors. It is Wednesday, and that means the Quincy Society of Fine Arts is well represented by Laura Sievert, who apparently has never heard Heidi ho, neighbors. So
no, I have. It was a flashback. It was a throwback moment. I expected Tim the Toolman Taylor to be right over the fence.
Over the fence. We have our Wednesday morning Art Beats segment, as we do every Wednesday morning, and we try to highlight at least three events that are happening with Arts Quincy and their member agencies. So coming up this Saturday, January 21st, in the evening from 6 to 9, over at Culver Stockton College, they're having their senior art show. Wow.
Yeah, it's really great. You know, this is the culmination of four hard years of work for these students. And why I really love this show is a lot of shows you go to in the area are going to be one type of medium, right? You're going to go see a watercolorist. You're going to go see an oil painter. This is kind of a big smattering of everything they're working on. So you're going to see pottery and pastels and paints. And I heard this year they've got graphic design and video as part of what they're doing. So, you know, really all types of art. And a lot of this will eventually lead them to careers in art, of course, or careers that are tangentially part of art, like marketing and graphic design. So terrific, terrific opportunity to see these pieces and see what these kids are learning.
Absolutely. And, you know, whether they ever go on to become professional artists or not, even if they just do it for a hobby the rest of their life and find their vocation somewhere else while their passion is with art, this is a great chance to see what the young minds of today are cooking up. And
that's right.
There may be some non-traditional students that are seniors at Culver Stockton as well, but this is absolutely free of charge Saturday night from 6 to 9 at the Maybe Art Gallery. So if you are looking for some interesting perspectives on life, head up there Saturday night and enjoy the hill.
And if you can't get there Saturday, it is on display all the way through February. So lots of chances to see it and get out there and support those students.
Okay, sounds great. Also, the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County is having their Everett Gallery opening. That is this Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4 at the History Museum right across the street here at 4th and Main, the old public library. And tell us about Edward Everett.
Well, this is really neat. This is a really cool story because he was a painter here in Quincy, living here in the 1830s, 40s, 50s time period. And he was really enamored of the river and the river traffic and all, of course, the commerce that was happening on the river at the time, and did a lot of painting with that as a subject. And his paintings kind of became lost to the, you know, to wherever, probably someone's attic and probably someone's garage and all of those things like old paintings are wont to do. But we're sort of rediscovered here 150 plus years later.
I believe it was our own intrepid historian, Charles Schultz.
That's right.
Chuck Schultz was over in Springfield at like an antique bookstore or something and said, hey, wait, what is this you've got here?
He's always got an eye out, doesn't he?
He's always got an eye out. And so Quincy was able to acquire those, and now they're going to be on display.
On display. And what's so neat about this is it's like a snapshot of a moment in time when Quincy was a bustling little river town and the crux of a lot of trade in the area. So it's a really neat way to think about our history. Back when town only went out to 12th Street.
That's right. Back when that was the outskirts of town.
That's right.
John Wood moved his mansion onto an orchard property, took over the farm, as they say. Sunday, January 22nd, from 2 to 4 at the History Museum. Just stop by any time during that time. But if you want to hear a talk about Edward Everett, that talk will be starting at 2:30. So if you want to have more historical information, just make sure you're there at 2:30. Again, it's always free, no charge. The Sunday Music Series, always free, no charge. My gosh, you don't have to pay for any of these events.
Three free events.
Sunday afternoon, as soon as you're done with the Everett Gallery opening, you can race right over to the Unitarian Church at 16th and Hampshire for Carol Matheson and Friends, and this is part of the free Sunday Music Concert.
That's right. It's one of my favorite things to go with my family to here in Quincy. Carol Matheson is, of course, a professor, a very accomplished professor in opera at Culver Stockton. But she's bringing along some pals, also professors from QU and John Wood. So that's the and friends portion of this. And they're just going to put on an amazing show. What's great about this is for this free opportunity, I like to recommend you bring kids. Say you've got a second, third, fourth grader that's thinking about playing an instrument. Sunday Music Series, just take them to each one once a month and expose them to a new instrument, because it may really, really spark their, you know, that youthful idea of what I could do when I grow up. and given that exposure that they wouldn't otherwise have.
And also listen to the instrument you never have to buy, your own vocal cords.
That's right.
So if you're really poor, you can always be a singer.
Apparently, I'm so poor that I can't even do that. I don't know where that comes
from. My vocal cords need a tune-up, and I can't afford that. That's Dr. Carol Matheson and friends, Sunday afternoon at 4 at the Unitarian Church, 16th in Hampshire. So we start out on Saturday night from 6 to 9 up at Culver Stockton College for their Seniors Art Show. It opens Saturday night, runs through the spring time frame at the college. The Edward Everett Gallery opening is Sunday from 2 to 4 at the History Museum. Now it will be open beyond that, but that's the grand opening, and that's when the talk will be given at 2:30. And then the Sunday Music Series at 4, free of charge, at 16th in Hampshire. So you can wet your whistle on all of these great arts events. And as always, if we need more information, there's a wonderful website, I hear.
That's right, artsquincy.org. And don't miss us on Facebook. We are always giving you the latest and greatest every single day.
Okay. Thank you, Laura Sievert from Arts Quincy. And we have the Standing Bear Council representative to tell us about the American Eagle and its place in our culture of today and chances for you to view them this weekend right here in Quincy.
Just to stay alive, 'cause the heat is on.
We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Joining me in studio, Leslie Haslam and Holly Kane. Leslie is a representative of the Standing Bear Council. This is a group of people with Native American heritage that get together to promote their own culture and to discover more about their culture. Get real close to that microphone there, Leslie. You've got to move that real close to you. And Holly Kane is looking beautiful as always, sitting here. She is the director of the Quincy Convention and Visitors Bureau. And at least once a year we have Holly on.
Yes,
we really
thank
need
you.
To have you on more.
Yes, you do. There are so many things going on.
There is an awful lot to discuss. And let's just say this. You know, a lot of people say we need a factory or we need these kind of jobs. You know, there's nothing wrong with a factory job, but that smokestack can sometimes blow out a lot of black. But with tourism,
it's clean.
A clean energy job.
It's everybody clean and quick.
They just come and they look.
Instant.
And if we don't like them, we can send them on their merry way. So that's the
right
way to go. But we're going to talk about Great River Eagle Days to get today. This is the winter gathering hosted by the Standing Bear Council. It is this weekend, January 21st and 22nd, at the Oakley Lindsay Civic Center here at 3rd New York. And it goes from 10 o'clock in the morning to 5 p.m. both Saturday and Sunday with exciting events all day. And we're going to run down that agenda. But before we do that, Leslie Haslam, tell us about the Standing Bear Council. Who are the members, and is there a requirement that you have a certain percentage of Native American blood to be a member, or can you just have an interest in Native American culture?
You can have just plain interest in following the path of the Native American culture. We are a very mixed group. We have some full blood and some that are halves and quarters and eighths and so forth. But we take anybody who has an interest and would like to support our group and be part of it.
It's so intriguing because now with this 23andMe and all these DNA registries, you know, they can find out exactly what you are. Of course, that doesn't mean what you identify as, you know.
Right.
But because I might be, I would be shocked if I found out it was anything but Irish and German. But, I mean, maybe.
You never know.
You never know.
And so it would be kind of a, well, I thought it was Irish. I took these trips to Ireland. I should have been over in, you know, Sweden maybe or something. Highly unlikely, but the way you identify yourself has more to do with your personal culture than how much blood percentage of something you have in it, right?
True. It can be very much that way.
I mean, we all remember this case of the lady who was the head of the NAACP who was technically a white woman.
Yeah.
I mean, if you'd done her DNA, she had 0%, you know, Native American, probably 0% African American, but she identified and called herself black. So it was kind of intriguing. People thought, well, she's kind of nuts. Well, maybe she is, but that's what she wanted her culture to be. And so, you know, who's to say? Because skin color, you know, you could get by with being Swedish, Holly. Probably,
I am. Yes.
You know, yeah. But, you know, if you were something else, mm-hmm. people might question it, you know, like, are you really a swarthy Italian with that, you know, that kind of complexion? But mm-hmm. by and large, you can get by with anything as long as it's not too out of what we think ethnic groups should look like. And that's kind of crazy because we're all mixed up in the jumble.
Oh, yeah. It's where your heart lies and, you know, what you feel inside, what you connect with. You know, there's a lot of different things that'll you know, make people do things they do.
Absolutely. And, of course, Native Americans were here by themselves for so long. But as soon as people started visiting, the Vikings and the Spanish and everybody else started to come, the Italians, the Portuguese, they became a jumble, too, because cultures always intermix with each other. The other thing I find fascinating about the Native American culture is that, you know, Holly and I could talk about, and you too, Leslie, could talk about our white culture. And my Irish culture is very different than Swedish culture. And what kind of Caucasian?
Lithuanian.
Lithuanian. So here we could say, well, we're all three white women.
Mm-hmm.
Let's celebrate our white culture. But you would bring, like, a different kind of bread than I would bring a different kind of bread than you would bring a different kind of bread. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we'd lump Native Americans, Indians, into one giant group. But they had different tribes and different family groups, just like the Irish and the Italians and the Lithuanians and the Swedes.
Right. And they do have different belief systems in a lot of the different
Well,
groups.
They were isolated in many ways. I mean, you can't expect somebody, a Mohawk Indian that is original to kind of the New York Valley, to have some of the same belief systems as a Southwest Indian, you know, an Apache or even an Aztec down in New Mexico. So they're informed by their culture.
Right. And you also have some other strange things that have occurred, like out in Australia. They'll find there's a Kokopelli symbol.
Which is the humpback man playing the flute.
Right. Who is
supposedly
fertility is what he was supposed to be. And they have it over here also, but they have found the same symbol in Australia. So it's kind of, how did that happen?
Okay, ladies, if you're looking to have a baby, look for a humpback man playing a flute today. he apparently is the clarinet players everywhere are going, yeah, baby,
there
bring
we go.
It on. they're all putting a Hunchback of Notre Dame thing in the back of their shirt.
Well, that's his pouch of seeds, actually.
Oh, really? Yes. I thought he was Hunchback.
He's not really a Hunchback. It's supposed to be a pouch of seeds that are the fertility seeds.
Okay, well, see, I was told he was just deformed.
Not really.
Okay. Different cultures.
Different cultures, different thoughts.
Okay. One thing we can all agree on is that the American bald eagle and all different kinds of eagles love to make their winter home here on the Mississippi River in the Illinois River Valley. And they are abundant for sure. They've come back from the brink of almost, you know, extinction. They were an endangered species for a while. And now they're pretty thick.
They
in
are.
Our area, mm-hmm. and they are a great tourist attraction. So we are going to take the Native American history of our local area and some other allied cultures who have moved here, mm-hmm. just like Germans moved here.
Right.
And we're going to take the natural beauty of the American bald eagle, and we're going to talk about the coexistence of these groups and the appreciation of the birds of prey by people of all cultures that live in the Mississippi Valley.
Yep. Right.
That's what the whole day is about.
Yes, it is.
And all ages, too. That's what I find so interesting. You see grandparents with grandchildren looking through the scopes, and it's really a great event for all ages.
Yeah, my grandson's, even the two-year-old, is just fascinated with Mr. Lincoln.
Oh, is that the name of what
Mr. Lincoln the bird.
That's our famous bird that comes every year, and he listens to the drums when we do the Blessing of the Eagles on Sunday, and he's very calm and just majestic.
Very regal. And he says, this is not much different than what they do in Alaska for me in the summer.
Yes.
Yes.
When I'm in Ketchikan, I catch as much as I can of their drumming.
Right.
And then I come down here to eat a hearty winter meal in the open waters of the Mississippi River. So this event is January 21st and 22nd. Let's talk a little bit about what goes on. And you mentioned that it is great for people of all ages, so much so that children actually get in free up to a certain age, right?
Yes. Children are free up until the age of 12. Then we have $3 for seniors and $5 for everyone else.
Okay. So the teens and the average adults pay $5, and the senior citizens get paid $3, so they get a discount.
Uh-huh.
And so you can bring all your family, because no matter how many kids you have, this is a very enjoyable, very affordable event. Now, obviously, most of the eagles are hanging out down towards the waterline. They're not going to be inside flying at the Oakley Lindsay Center, but there will be some eagles that are unable to fly and are used kind of for education purposes and study purposes. So if you don't want to go and stand and look through the binoculars at the bird in flight in its natural habitat, right, you can see one up close and personal.
Yes.
Not too close and personal.
Not too close.
No. They
they do get close, though. I had the turkey vulture in my hair last year at the event.
Oh, yeah.
It
Chewy.
Was flying. It's, yeah. Yes, Chewy.
Chewy gets around.
He likes
vulture.
My hair.
He likes the Swedish girl.
He likes the ladies, apparently.
Well, he did. I was like, ooh.
And we have some of the other birds of prey, too, that are really, really neat to watch and look at and talk
because
to.
Because like ospreys and anything that's a bird of prey is something that catches food with its talons
right.
on its feet.
Right.
Okay, so they're primarily fish and rodent eaters.
Right.
So owls, things like that. Mm-hmm. Not just eagles, but a lot of things are birds of prey.
Right.
So it's kind of nice to see all the different...
We'll try and have some hands-on wings and things for the kids to be able to pick up and handle and,
okay.
and feel what they feel like, because you can't really go up and touch these birds. We prefer you don't, because you never know what they're going to do.
Well,
they are wild
right.
still, and
yeah,
you know, they can't get around as well, but they can still do a few few things of
yes.
damage.
their beak is still a razor sharp instrument.
Yes, it is.
We're talking today with Leslie Haslam from the Standing Bear Council and with Holly Kane from the Quincy Visitors and Tourism Center, and they're hosting this event. Great River Eagle Days Winter Gathering. It's been going on for several years now, and it's quite popular. Let's kind of start with events that are happening on both days, and then we'll come back and we'll kind of separate it into what you can see on Saturday and what you can see on Sunday if you're not able to come
right.
on both days. So what are if we walked in on Saturday or Sunday, what kinds of things would we see?
For both days, you'll see the birds of prey. There's a Voyager camp, which is our canoe camp. There'll be a 17-foot-long canoe in the building. We will have the full-size teepee. We'll have native dancing both days. We have children's crafts and activities. Grand entry, which is the native dancing, starts at 12:30 both days. Let's see, lots of vendors. There'll be fry bread, which if you're native or even non-native, you'll love it. And we have Indian tacos that we will serve. There'll be some flute playing going on probably both days, and people talking and telling stories of Native history and things of that sort, just stories in general for kids to listen to, and geode cracking. During our Native dancing, there'll also be a candy dance for the first time that will be for children to come in and dance.
Okay.
And get candy.
And get candy. And so let's just leave it at that and say, come down and see what you have to do. To get the candy dance. We are going to take a break, step away, and talk about the farm markets from the IRSA Farmers Cooperative. This report is brought to you by Bear Crop Science, but we'll be back in just a moment to tell you about all the great events on Saturday and Sunday, including some of the guest artists they have coming and some of the religious rituals that you can observe and, if appropriately somber or, you know, if you have the right attitude, you may also participate in
oh, yeah.
in certain things. Okay. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. We want to remind you that Great River Eagle Days Winter Gathering is this Saturday and Sunday. Children under the age of 12 are admitted free. Those 13 and to senior citizen age cost $5, and seniors you get in for $3. And there's plenty to see and do, and there's lots of places to sit down, too. So the little ones can run around and run off all the energy, and some of the older folks can kind of observe from a more sedate position.
We hope so.
We hope so. So both Saturday and Sunday at 12:30, the Native American dancing will be happening. They'll have a teepee set up on both days. There'll be Native food that will be served. There'll be traders, which are almost like reenactors of that Mississippi River time frame when fur trading and, you know, white people and Native Americans were first coming into contact with each
right.
other and building those business connections.
Right.
You know, it's all about the money, folks. Let's
right.
face it.
Right.
And the Voyager Camp, a 17-foot canoe will be
yes.
on display to show people how they got around. And, of course, the star of the show, the birds of prey, including the American bald eagle. Now, on Saturday, you've got some special things going on. And Leslie Haslam, just run those down for us, because some of these things are things that are not going to be seen on Sunday or at a different time frame.
Right. We'll have an entertainer, Jack Gladstone, that'll be performing at 2 o'clock. He does Native flutes and folklore storytelling, and he does it in a very wonderful way, so he's a great entertainer for us. On Sunday, we will have Michael Vera Eastman, who will be doing he's from the Quincy, he actually runs the Quincy's drum circle group, and he will be doing a drum circle for the public to be invited along into the circle and pick up drums or other little musical hand instruments, percussion instruments, and we have a nice little circle of music that takes place, and he teaches people how to get into it.
And that's on Sunday?
Sunday at 10:30 a.m.
Okay.
And then following that on Sunday, we will have the Blessing of the Eagles at 11:30, and Forrest Liggett will be running the blessing.
Okay.
And we'll have the center of attention there, Mr. Lincoln.
The American bald eagle, Mr.
Yes.
Lincoln.
Yes.
He doesn't wear a top hat because that would hide his bald head. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you think it would kind of hide it, but no.
And both days, children's crafts are going on from 1 to 2, and then again from 3 to 4. So
Right. Get
the kids in the craft area, get them all riled up with that, then take them around, and then they can come back to the craft area. I mean, this is a thing. How long? 3,000 people attended last year, you said, Holly Kane. What's the average time spent inside the Oakley Lindsay Center? I mean, is it something you should allot an hour for? Is it something you should allot? I mean, you can do anything in an hour. You can do anything in 30 minutes if you don't want to look too much at stuff. I mean,
it's really such a relaxed afternoon.
Right.
I would say 2 hours.
Yeah.
Two hours.
You can
some
spend
people
as long
spend
as you
all day.
Want. But
some people
we have
spend
people
all day.
That come in from out of town and they're here all weekend and they go back to their hotel and then they go to the lock and dam, and then they'll come back inside. So really, your stamp, if you get your hand stamped,
you can come
and
here.
Go as you wish. So it's really, it's a two-hour event, I think. My children are always around the live raptors for hours.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's
so much to see and do. And
now, it's a winter event, but Saturday's temperature is going to be 60 degrees. Is that good or bad for eagle viewing? I mean, they come down here because we have open water. At 60 degrees, we really have open water. I mean, there'll still be ice chunks in, but basically, will we get a chance to see them feeding, or are the pickings so easy that they won't be doing it?
They love being at the lock and dam, for one. And so I think even with the warmer temperature, they will still be there. My husband and I went down hiking down the lock and dam area, and we go way down the point, and coming back up, we saw eagles sitting in the big trees right there. And even where you park, there was one sitting in the tree.
It's amazing, even if you're over on Quinsippi Island,
you can
see them sitting in the trees.
Yes.
Because, again, the marina is pretty much
and
open
water.
You
have to caution. They do drop fish, and you might get hit, so watch out.
There was a story about that out in Portland, Oregon, or someplace like that. They had a major power outage in town because some eagles were flying over, and one of them, at least one of them, dropped a fish.
Yep.
It landed into a transformer box and blew the box, and they lost power for about 300 homes. And when they got in there to figure it out, they were expecting a squirrel or, you know, something like that. No, it was a fish. And how did a fish get up on this transformer box? So they said, well, guess what? Nobody had... I guess he didn't like his food. The kids didn't like the food raw.
He was a fried.
I'll cook it for you.
Unfortunately,
she couldn't retrieve it. So, that is going to be great. So people can go down to the Lock and Dam, and there's no charge at all to go down to the Lock and Dam.
No.
And there will be telescopes set up for those who don't have their own binoculars or who need a little bit of conservation police kind of assistance in spotting.
Yes.
Because the bald eagle only gets the white top when it's fully mature. So you'll see some brown-headed eagles down there, and they may be bald eagles. They're just not grown.
Yeah, they have kind of a dirty look to them. They're kind of very speckled and look like they've had mud thrown on them. But those are the immature ones. And sometimes you'll see some nice solid brown, which they're even younger. But you'll see a lot of the bald eagles, and you'll know that's them. They stand out really well.
They stand out.
I think there were about 20 of them last year that the Rangers counted. About 20 bald eagles were at the event last year. So I know there'll be a large concentration.
We had big numbers one year, too. Over 600 that they had counted in one day.
Yeah, it's amazing because, again, they will travel through. Yeah. But also, just like people say, well, you know, a killer whale is a killer whale is a killer whale. Well, not if you're a killer whale expert. You can tell the difference. So, you know, I look at a bald eagle and I say, oh, there's a bald eagle. And I see another bald eagle. I don't know if it's the same one or a different one or his identical twin brother. I don't know. But if you observe them long enough, and some of them, have they ever been banded? Are there some that are banded? So that way, if you can see, you know, with the binoculars, if you can see the band, you can kind of at least know that that is one that has been given a name, I guess, or a number.
Name and a number.
A name and a number. Okay. So all day at both events are going to have a lot of fun. But if you want to hear the drumming, you need to come Sunday morning at 10:30 for the drumming. Then the blessing of the eagles, which is this kind of religious ceremony that the
right.
Standing Bear Council will put on, mm-hmm. is at 11:30. Both days, there's kind of a grand entry at 12:30 with a lot of dancing, a lot of colorful, displays.
The grand entry also, we honor the veterans. And so we ask people from the public who might be a veteran, and they are allowed to come in and carry one of the flags into the grand entry circle. And it's really kind of a great event as it begins, and then the dancing starts. And that will last all until 4 o'clock, 4:30.
Yeah. So the dancing is not like a 5-minute thing, like a dance recital, and then you're off the stage. This goes on all day.
Goes on all day.
And of course, some of them times they may take a little break, or some other new ones may enter the circle.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
It's basically a continuous flow. And will there be somebody there to interpret? This is the rain dance, or this is
right.
the thankful dance, or
right. The gentleman who runs the drum circle, he will actually do the introductions as to which is which and try and give you a little history on it. We also have an MC who will be doing some of that also, but he also will be giving out the prize money. A lot of dancers come in for these in their regalia, and you get a number. And even if you're not in your regalia, you're welcome to come in, get a number. And if you're going to dance all day, you might get your number pulled at random and get to choose an envelope with some cash money in it.
Wow.
Reason to stay.
Yes.
See, these gaming casinos, this is how
this is
part
candy.
Of their culture.
Candy for the youth, and then it goes up to dollars.
That's right.
Children can win this cash too, my friend.
Bring them in. Not just the Mohegan Sun. They'll have it at the Oakley Lindsay Center, folks. Bring them in. This is going to be a great event. Now, obviously, Holly, you're enticing people down here from Chicago. A lot of people are coming up from the St. Louis area, although they can also hit Clarksville and Saverton Dam. But this is kind of a scheduled activity day, so a lot of people will be coming in from out of town. And the Microtel Inn, which has a beautiful view of the
right.
river, has offered some special accommodations.
They have. They've offered a $60 rate, and I think that ended on last Friday. But
yeah,
the Microtel still has rooms available, and that's a great place to come, or any of our several hotels that overlook the river front. So I know it's a great time of year for lower rates anyway for our hotels. And the weather is going to be perfect. No worries of ice or bad traveling. So we've taken a lot of calls, people coming in from Amtrak. They're going to, utilize the great service from Chicago. Dubuque, Iowa, Keokuk, and Marion, Illinois also have their Eagle events this weekend as well. So it could be something that people could do a few of the other cities and make it a concentrated effort to stay in Quincy.
Right now, it looks like the best weather is actually going to be Saturday because they don't schedule any rain, at least during the daylight hours. On Sunday, there is a chance of rain, but again, it's going to be 50 degrees, so you're not going to freeze to death. You can stand out and watch the Eagles for quite a long time.
Definitely.
Which sometimes that's a little bit more prohibitive. You've got to go back in the car and get warmed up unless you're a super hardy soul.
Right.
But for children to see the birds in flight and to learn about them is great. So maybe after you leave the Oakley Lindsay Center and they've seen them on their perches, go out and show them what they look like in their natural environment when they don't have their broken wing or whatever. And I think a lot of kids can understand that. They fall down on the playground and they get a boo-boo and it prevents them from doing, maybe being in a three-legged race or something. They have to sit out for a day. Well, these eagles are sitting out because they have a boo-boo, but these ones are playing and are having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So call the Convention and Visitors Bureau or any of our local hotels. Ask them if they have a special rate.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great time to visit Quincy. Mm-hmm. 3,000 people coming through the door. That brings in some money. Who gets the money and what do you use it for when you collect this money? Is it pretty much a wash because you got to rent this facility, you got to pay these people? It's not a money-making effort for the Standing Bear Council, is it?
No, we're a nonprofit organization, and our money is used for any of our other events that we do and our educational purposes. We're always trying to add in educational things to come in for our events so people learn more and more about Native Americans. Or other little bits of culture. We have another guest that is coming on Sunday to play, and that is Victor Hennigan. He's from Keokuk, and he plays the Jamaican drums. It's like basically those kettle drums, I believe.
The steel drums.
The steel drums. Mm-hmm. There we go. And he does some great entertaining with the children involved and such. We always try and involve the kids into a lot of the activities so that they learn a lot more of different things. Like last year we had the Aztec dancers.
And, right.
They stop and they talk about all the different things of their culture and how this is done, and it was just phenomenal.
And so this year it's going to be more like Jamaica Mon, but let's face it, we had to get here somehow, and Jamaica's a good example, you know, in Haiti and Dominican Republic, of a melting pot.
Definitely.
Just like, you know, people we think of as Mexicans today are really a conglomeration of Aztec, Incan, Mayan cultures mixed in with Spanish people and others, and and a lot of people say they can, you know, we have no documentation. Mm-hmm. There could have been people from the Far East arrive here. You know, we just don't know.
And they got mixed with Native Americans. Yeah. I met a gentleman in Acoma who was talking about, he has this little hairy mustache thing going on, and he says, you know, somewhere back in our line, somebody had a Mexican influence in the family, and now I have this.
Because traditionally Native Americans don't really grow a beard, right? They're pretty hairless.
Yeah.
Although now that we've intermingled,
it pops up
and it changes. Okay. I'll use that the next time I run out of wax. I sell just a little Native American. Well, thank you very much to Holly Kane and to Leslie Haslam. Great River Eagle Days comes around once a year, folks. This year it's on the 21st and 22nd. There are great activities to see. You can go to Arts Quincy and check out the flyer and the times and all of that. And we're just looking very much forward to it. So thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Please, I hope you have a great weekend. The weather's going to be great.
Yeah.